Welcome to Manager Tools. Today, the Proactive Manager, Chapter 1, Reporting, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, can I change how I report to my boss and the company? What can I do differently about reporting and running my team? Do I have to keep reporting the same stuff that's always been reported?
Whether your organization is having its best year or its worst, we know that budget is always important to executives in order to make the best use of funding. When Manager Tools brings training to your organization, your cost per head is lowered by almost 50% from our public event training. And it eliminates travel and lodging costs, never mind time away from the actual office where work can be produced. Client training with Manager Tools is meant for groups of 15 or more people where you can realize these economies of scale. If you'd like to learn more information, send an email to us at customerservice@manager-tools.com, and we'll provide all the information we need to ensure that you make the most of your budget this year.
Sarah, today we're talking about taking over a new team and the kind of acceptance of previous norms that you might think you have to engage in. We're here to share with you that some of that stuff, not necessary, and help you to understand how to do it appropriately. When you've taken over a new team, there's all kinds of things that your predecessor did that you don't necessarily agree with, whether you worked for her or not. And like virtually all managers, you figure, oh, you know, that's the way it's done here. You think to yourself, they have a good reason why it's done this way. And so you might not change anything right away. And okay, that's probably fine until you get busy doing your job, and then you likely forget to change anything at all. And all those good ideas about what should have happened are overwhelmed by the status quo. And suddenly the old status quo, which you wanted to change, is the new norm of your everyday life. It's the water you swim in. And so you don't make any changes. And that could be a big mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is the first in a series of casts we're going to be putting out about being proactive as a manager. And folks, the reason we're putting some of these casts out is effective managers don't like the status quo, even if your style, your communication style, is that of a high C or a high S. And if you don't know what that is, look up DISC. If you're a more reserved person generally, you're not known to love change. However, your role as a manager demands that you re-examine the status quo and that you change what needs to be changed. You don't get paid to be yourself. None of us do. Wish we did, but we don't. We don't get paid to be comfortable. We get paid to deliver sustainable results, regardless of our temperament or our style or our personality or our preference. Effective managers are proactive.
Mm-hmm. For this, our first proactive manager cast topic, we're going to talk about the first 90 days rule still applies, but you can still think and plan for proactivity. Don't assume your boss knows or cares what you're doing internally. He doesn't. Eliminate dead reporting and create new reporting. These are our steps, our pieces of guidance. Starting with, keep in mind that the first 90 days rule still applies, but you can think ahead for proactivity and plan as well.
Yeah.
For future proactivity.
Yeah, exactly. Now, folks, if you're new to Manager Tools, you may not know what we're referring to here when we say the first 90-day rule, but we have a series of podcasts about the first 90 days, what you're to do, what you're not to do. If you listen to those casts, which many of you, we think, probably have, you'll know we recommend don't change a lot in the first 90 days. When we recommend you act as a proactive manager, this doesn't supersede your need to build trust and learn about your team and its methods and its activities, all of those first 90-day kind of things. As we've said before, your team is going to have to carry your water for quite some time. You're new. They know so much more than you do right now. Mm-hmm. And If you insist on pushing changes, they're going to see those changes as uninformed, and you're going to make your entire tenure one of digging out from the hole of misinformation that you dug yourself due to a lack of trust building.
Yeah. So,
first 90 days still applies.
They've already gone through a huge change. For you, this change is less fraught, maybe, with the fear of having a new manager and all those things. They're already going through
That's
a lot
a hard
of change.
Change.
And
yeah,
adding
exactly.
your ideas to those series of changes puts you at risk in your relationship with them. And also, it is true, you don't know necessarily why the things are the way that they are. From the outside looking in, there might be a lot of things that you don't understand about how it works. And it's also true that you're going to gain a lot of knowledge in those first 90 days, that if you do want to make changes, they can be made more smoothly. Like, you'll learn things about the communications and the reporting and stuff that really will allow you to put the change, like the end goal of the change, in place that you want, rather than just, hey, I want this thing to be like this. You can make better choices about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the 90-day rule of new initiatives does not mean being unaware of things that need to change. It's equally valuable to spend part of your first 90 days looking for things that need change and not implementing them right away, but getting a better understanding. And that better understanding could lead you to actually finding different things that need to change, new things.
Right. Or flagging them and then realizing, oh, wait a minute, that is one that we need to keep. Or we could change it. We could tweak it like 10%.
Yeah.
And it would be better. Like, finding those things and collecting those things.
Yeah.
Should be underway.
Like a compilation.
Yeah.
Of a different sort of Delta file, right? We've talked about Delta files before. Like, if I was in this position as my boss, what would I do differently than my boss? And you can do a similar thing, a list of things you want to change, which since Delta is just change, this could also be just a change file. And you do it after you've done your initial waiting and trust building timeframe of 90 days. You make notes of those things that you want to change, the processes, systems, reporting, work assignments, personnel development, for example. These things are on the table.
Yeah. And I know I've gotten asked this one before, Kate, when we're doing the effective manager conference, and sometimes people are talking about, hey, I'm kind of new to my role in the first 90 days, and what does that mean for one-on-ones? Folks, no. You can start one-on-ones with your team immediately. You can. Your boss is not going to stop a new manager from meeting with each of their directs for 30 minutes to say hello and get to know them when these people don't know each other from Adam. Your boss isn't going to get in the way of that. Our guidance for waiting 3 to 5 weeks, if you're familiar with the one-on-ones Trinity rollout timeframe, that 3 to 5 weeks at the beginning was for managers who'd already been managing their existing team for a while, and their calendars were already full of existing work and or meetings. I mean, if I'm going to, for example, start up a 30-minute one-on-one with each of my 9 directs, it's going to be tricky to do that in the next 3 weeks, hence the planning timeline. But for the record, the reason that we've said that is simply because of calendar busyness. We want to eliminate calendar busyness for you and the, let's call it, complaints about busyness for everyone else.
The pushback we get.
Yeah, exactly. The pushback we get. We're too busy. Well, guess what? In 3 weeks, there's plenty of time in your calendar and I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So now you should also know 3 weeks is plenty of time. And you can probably get away with starting the second full week you're in charge of your new team. So if you start on a Wednesday, let's say you start on Wednesday, you could take the first full week, brief your team, get the calendar laid out, and begin your one-on-ones. People are going to want to meet with you anyway.
Right.
I mean, right? I think.
Even if they just want to vent or they just want to share their opinions or they just want to get into your good graces because you're the new manager, I would suggest that the only people who don't want to meet with you are people who were left alone into their own devices in previous managerial structures. And those people are honestly probably the people with whom you need to meet the most. Find out what's going on, figure out if what they're doing is appropriate, if it's priority based, etc. Any professional person, especially like if you think of like a top performer, they would want to meet with their new manager, if only to say, here's how awesome I am. Here's the things that I'm doing. And those people who maybe don't necessarily want to meet with you are probably the people with whom you need to figure out what's going on.
That's exactly it. Well, and I would say, especially if you're a remote manager.
Oh my goodness,
dude, if you're a remote manager, can you imagine being a remote direct, let's say? You got a new manager and you didn't even have 30 seconds to chat directly with that person.
I'd be scared.
For the first 3 weeks that you worked for them, I'd be terrified. I'd be like, well, this is weird.
Yeah.
And kind of awkward. What do I do?
Right.
Like, they're not going to say, hey, boss, can I get time on your calendar necessarily? They don't know. They're just trying to figure it out.
They also probably assume you're really busy and think to themselves, oh, I shouldn't.
Totally.
They'll call
me. Don't bother them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sure, as I mentioned, there's probably going to be some outliers, people who don't want to meet with you. Maybe those people can, you can wait a week for those people too and say, hey, fine, those people can wait a week. And all of them work for you now. Mm-hmm. So we believe in the primacy of relationship power and trust. And you have role power and you can use that role power to get yourself a 30-minute meeting with your people to start that relationship building. Mm-hmm. If you have to start with role power in order to get what you need to create the relationships that will be effective, that's fine. Sometimes that's how it works. And a shift in role power like this is quite frightening for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
They probably don't necessarily describe it that way. And if you've ever been through one, you know it to be true. You know, there's, I think people would describe it more as a feeling of anxiousness around just having questions that seem unanswered, things like that. So we do recommend you start one-on-ones. Maybe not the first week, but very, very quickly.
Very soon.
It doesn't have to be 90 days. That's not what we're talking about. We're recommending you do start. And in 12 weeks, then it'll be time to continue the gradual rolling out of the Manager's Roles Trinity, including feedback, coaching, and delegation. So you should be moving right into that.
Yeah. Oh, within the first 90 days, you're working well through your Trinity rollout. And as you start getting close to the end of those 90 days, and it doesn't have to be 90 days precisely, to be clear, this isn't like the point of a pin. Like, this is generally 90 days is the amount of time it takes to build trust, hence the 90 days. But as the end of that 90 days starts to near, this is when you start making plans for the rolling out of new initiatives, as well as changes to existing systems and processes, things that you've collected, identified, determined to be in need of some light shone on them in the first 90 days. Now, it doesn't matter what you truly think. I promise you one thing is true. There are reports and there are meetings and there are reviews that are overcome by events. Mm-hmm. All of the organizations, all of the time. There are going to be things that don't happen constantly. These are opportunities that are ripe for change, and it's time to start moving things.
Yeah, we know that each manager does things a little bit differently. There's going to be some stuff that can be changed. And instead of grousing, complaining that everything is all messed up, it's probably worth recognizing that these things worked in some fashion for the previous boss, and also that this predecessor probably allowed a lot of internal things to continue from their previous boss.
Yeah,
so
that's
the thing.
So
when they took over, they let some stuff go on that maybe wasn't necessarily needed. Didn't want to, you know, rock the boat. Maybe didn't even know that they could make changes like this, and I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest in 2024 that many rules and processes that are part of our professional lives were initiated during the pandemic and would never have been in place before the professional pandemic-induced let's send everybody home situation.
Yeah, like all the people all the time at home, 100% illegal to be in the same room together.
Yeah.
Now, even though some of us work fully remote now, we are not in that world. So there are a lot of things that we did because we had to do them And that world doesn't exist anymore.
We are right now, as you and I are recording this, we're within a week of it being exactly 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When things really started. Because there was a slice of time there where I remember thinking, and maybe it's just me, I remember thinking, we'll all shut down, go home for 2 weeks. Now, in hindsight, of course, you're hearing me say this and you're thinking,
Kate, good what, one.
What on this
on what planet?
Round green ball caused you to believe that? I remember though thinking,
oh, me too.
We'll go, you know, Gary and I, like, we'll go to the cabin and in 2 weeks we'll come back and this will all be done. And so there was a part where I really honestly thought, and I think a lot of us did, we're going to do a full shut the doors for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then it'll be normal. And maybe you thought it was longer than 2 weeks. Maybe your experience was different. For me, even though we were remote before, I really thought that it was just going to be like, okay, set in time, like slice, and then it'll be back up and running. However, that's not at all, obviously, not at all what happened. And there was some weird adaptations and things were slow. Yeah. We were slow to adapt. There, a classic, pandemic classic example is several companies we know of move all of their meetings to start 5 minutes after the top of the hour or 5 minutes after the bottom of the hour. So at, for example, 12:05 instead of 12 p.m. or 12:35 instead of 12:30 because of Zoom. And these meetings weren't ever efficient when they did start on time.
Uh-huh.
Why would we start late because of Zoom? And of course, someone's going to say, well, because everyone was late to Zoom meetings. And the answer to that is, well, stop being late to Zoom meetings because you're downstairs doing laundry.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be mad that I said that. And
someone is.
Meetings in offices used to be scheduled to start on time. They used to be scheduled to start on time.
Okay, good call. Yes. Yeah. Touché, friend. Touché.
They used to be scheduled to start on time.
Per the calendar invite. Mm-hmm.
And I will say, if you have kids at home, sure, maybe you ran late to some Zoom meetings. Yes. And putting in place a company-wide adjustment for that type of thing that's still being continued is not appropriate.
Yeah.
So that might be something that you might want to change about your current situation because somebody else put it in place and we are no longer in that situation. It just doesn't work like that anymore.
It doesn't work like that anymore. I mean, we'd further bet that there are rules requiring reporting changes that took into account remote work. As work returns back to the office, any of those rules should be repealed. Folks, there are no doubt rules that still exist in many organizations that put in place special procedures and or protocols for individuals who feel unwell.
Sure.
Because of the situation we went through with the pandemic. And those things should probably be reviewed and you should prepare to possibly eliminate them. I mean, of course, there's going to be some organizations, let's call it a medical situation, right? Maybe in a hospital. Sure. Maybe the rules are different. But for most of us in a day-to-day office setting, given the fact that COVID is now something that we live with, it's another variation of the flu. Most of our office environments aren't going to require that individuals report in as sick and or don't come. But those things surely exist still. They're on the books. It's no one's gone back and cleaned it up. There's not a lot of time for that. So these are things that you can start looking for.
As a perfect example, my sister-in-law, her daughter goes to school in the Boston area. Their school has in place from previous rulings, right, from before the pandemic, a situation where if your child misses a certain number of days at work, your child doesn't go to work.
No child labor in Boston. It's not a thing.
I'm so focused on work. If your child misses a certain number of days of school, your parents get a letter. And that rule is still in place. Absolutely makes sense, right? We're worried. is the child okay? Is the family okay? So the school system that Hattie's in also added COVID rules. If your child is certainly sick, they can't go in for X number of days. Now, I don't know how many days it is at this point. And to be fair, we had this conversation a month ago.
Yeah.
Those two rules are conflicting because
if
your child just has the sniffles, they have to stay home for 3 days. And if that happens twice and it's February in Boston, then your child has exceeded the number of days that they now get a letter. And it's an example of both things, right? A previous rule being maintained, even one that's appropriate, and then a new rule being put in place that violates that one, and a conflict. And you might have both of these things in your team.
Yeah.
And if you work in a school where this is happening, this is something that your students, your work is dealing with. So it is important for us to consider, are these things still valid? And it's not just pandemic stuff. It's also previous rules that were in place from your predecessor or their predecessor, because not all managers behave proactively. And the manager that you're taking over from might not have behaved proactively around the things that they inherited.
Yeah.
We have to watch for that.
We have to watch for that, if for no other reason than number of productive work hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might think to yourself, oh, what harm is it? What harm is it that there's a letter going out because these two rules are conflicting? Harm. Harm. Because someone on your team is spending time creating this stinking letter.
Yes.
Because of this other rule. And what a waste of organizational resources. Useful time. It could be used for better things, I imagine.
And Massachusetts is a state where a lot of the rules are state. They're not district.
Okay.
Because Massachusetts does a really good job with paying attention to its citizens. I would imagine that some of that comes directly from a state law, which would mean then that there is someone in the state government in Massachusetts who has to monitor both and produce letters that are not truly viable based on the other rule. And also, I'm willing to bet there's still somebody who has to make phone calls about it. Then I'm sure there's an escalation of it.
Yeah.
And then the parents have to do a thing. Honestly, imagine if you're a parent who works in the Massachusetts state government and you have to produce the letter and then your kid gets the letter. So now you're doing both these things that eat up your time. Is this productive work? And I'm not trying to shame Massachusetts. It's simply that these things that are sometimes logical at the moment.
Absolutely. Both of those rules are totally logical. Just at the same time, not so good.
Yes.
That's all.
And you're in charge now. This is your purview.
Exactly.
Leave the Massachusetts school system alone.
We're sorry. We love you.
We support you. We think Hattie's having a great education. We just want to be clear about some of the stuff that happens. And when we were talking about this at conferences, I always call them TPS reports.
Yeah.
Which is just these things that get in place and then they become historical. They become part of the woodwork and either they don't get noticed or they don't get eliminated. If there's a transition, it's worth paying attention. And we should,
Tidying up.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just, cleaning up the little messy things.
April 4th, we're hosting an online effective communicator course at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we'd love to host you. By the end of the session, you'll be able to watch another person for 2 or 3 minutes, identify their DISC profile, and tailor your communication to them. It's an insanely effective way to communicate, and it can help your team reach their goals. April 4th over Zoom, virtual effective communicator starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, now about the 90-day rule, though, something else to keep in mind just so that we can kind of clarify it. If you're standing up a new team which doesn't have any systems and procedures in place upon your arrival, folks, there's no 90-day rule. There's none of this, wait a bit, at the end of the 90 days, that's when you start doing some stuff. No, if there's nothing in place, you do what you think is right now. You start your one-on-ones. You build systems for work assignments and reporting. You implement the use of deliverables rather than tasks. Deliverables being work's not done until it's reported as done. You start simplified project managing with passive reporting. The individual who does the work is obligated to report on the work. so that other people don't have to wonder about where are they on doing their work, that kind of stuff. Who does what by when deliverables? Mm-hmm. I mean, as someone who's standing up a new team, don't ask your boss for guidance, let alone approval about anything in terms of how you run your team internally. Sure, a new team can ask for external directional guidance, like where's your boss's orgs going? What does your boss consider critical? What are your egg yolk deliverables? Your glass balls that can't drop. If you don't know what an egg yolk deliverable is, you might want to consider becoming a licensee so that you can get Executive Tools podcast, because that will tell you what an egg yolk deliverable is. Something essentially that must be done. It is yours. It is the core of your responsibilities. Anyway, so in terms of internal stuff, from the moment you start, all of it's your call, manager. This is your new team. You're busy, or you're responsible for building it. And the worst thing you can do is act on your fear of being wrong by doing nothing. Doing nothing in a new situation is literally the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, in action.
Do nothing. Yeah. Start doing something.
Yes.
Even imperfect something is better than nothing.
And we talked about this recently too, about executive decision making and the fact that, honestly, executives know a lot of the decisions they make don't stand for too terribly long because the landscape changes.
Yeah, so exactly.
The landscape is changing. We're making decisions. We're doing that knowing that some of them won't be perfect. We're doing that knowing that if we don't decide right now, we will have issues where nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen.
And we know too that some of those decisions, especially the daily ones that are focused on like processes and reporting and things like that, they don't have to stand forever.
Oh yeah, we're not pouring concrete.
Right.
Folks, we're standing up a team. Like we're just like, okay, like let's just like get some structure here and then we'll worry about the solidification of it later. You're just getting things done. You're just organizing them.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next week with a continuation of this topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.